Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Happy Monday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. We got a great show for you guys today. We finally made it. We got college football playoff games kicking off this weekend. Notre Dame, Indiana starts things on Friday night. Tyler Wojak is standing by. We'll get his thoughts on the Irish and the Hoosiers. We'll also look ahead to Monday Night Football tonight. We got a doubleheader. We got the Falcons and the Raiders, Bears and Vikings. We'll give out some best bets in those games tonight. We'll preview Week 16 in the NFL, one of my favorite bets of the year in the NFL. We'll talk about that. Also, some of the college football bowl games coming up this week that I like at the current numbers. Kate Constable going to join us later on in the show for Model Making Money. Then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, comments, best bets that you guys have for us, it can be in college football, it can be in the NFL, college basketball, let us know. Send in your questions, twitch.tv/BeckQL or YouTube.com/OdysseySports. And if you miss any part of the show over the next 30 minutes, we got you covered. The Send It In podcast available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get this thing rolling on a Monday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Tyler Wojak joins us. Give him a follow on X at Tyler Wojak. Does work for Fox Sports, Locked On Irish podcast as well. And Tyler, we've made it to the college football playoff, man. We got Notre Dame and Indiana on Friday night in South Bend. As you start looking into this matchup, previewing the game a little bit, what do you think are the keys for both teams, the Irish especially, in this matchup?
I would say on offense, they have to be able to run the ball early and often, because if Indiana forces them into passing a lot, especially with the weather conditions, I mean, who knows what the weather is going to be like on Friday as we sit here on a Monday, but right now the forecast is looking like low 20s with 10 to 15 mile an hour wind gusts. Those aren't necessarily ideal conditions for passing the football. So Notre Dame is going to try to run on them if they're able to. I really like the Irish's chances, but Indiana's had a really stout run defense all year long. So I think that is going to be the matchup that everyone's looking at on that side of the ball. On the other side, I think if Notre Dame could get pressure on Rourke and force him into making some mistakes, I think that's going to be critical. Indiana likes to run a ton of RPO, and so much of their offense is predicated on the decision-making of Curtis Rourke. For 10 out of 12 games this year, he was excellent. Honestly, you could probably say 10.5, because that first half against Michigan, he was awesome. But Ohio State got a lot of pressure on him. He got sacked 5 times. They barely had anything going offensively with the exception of that first drive. So if Notre Dame's able to get pressure and they're able to run the ball, I think Notre Dame should be able to win comfortably.
You know, the total in this game, Tyler, I think is interesting, right? It's a 51.5 right now on BetMGM. You got two teams with good defenses, two teams that want to run the football. But right now, the weather forecast, it looks like they're calling for a little bit of a snow, and maybe that could present a snover potentially if there's some bad footing. Both teams maybe breaking some explosive plays. Do you think this is a lower scoring game, or do you actually think that if there's elements, that could help the offense and maybe we get a higher scoring game than what people expect?
I honestly think this is an under game. I feel like these defenses are both too good. And when you consider the weather, I think both teams are going to probably try to play it safe a little bit and run the ball, shorten the game and things like that. So honestly, like the line 7.5, I kind of go back and forth on it with this because of the weather. I think that some weird things could happen and neither team will be able to really pull away at any point in this game. But I just don't really see either defense getting gashed. I mean, you think about that Indiana-Ohio State game. Like, even though Ohio State was able to win that one going away, they only had like 316 yards of total offense. IU really lost that game, or at least it got away from them because of two bad plays on special teams. So I guess I have too much confidence in both of these defenses to think that the weather is going to hurt them. I think that they're going to be really stout on both sides.
If you're looking at player props for these games, because obviously now that we have standalone games and a bunch of people are going to be watching, they want more ways to get involved in the game. You know Notre Dame very well. You know how they want to attack on offense. You know kind of positions that they shut down on defense. If you were to look at the prop market, do you think this would be a heavy Jeremiah Love game? Is this a heavy Riley Leonard type rushing game? What do you think Notre Dame's going to try and do? Any players that maybe you would attack for props for Notre Dame?
I do think that they're going to run Riley Leonard a lot more in the designed runs. It was a big factor in the win against Texas A&M to start the season. They would run him on early downs, which is something they have not done in a long time, which is a good thing, right? Like, you want to protect your starting quarterback. And for much of Notre Dame's second half of the schedule, most of those games were pretty easy. So I think they tried to protect him a little bit more. Now, he was still a threat as a scrambler and was still able to make plays with his legs. But I'm talking about, like, quarterback power on first down. They were doing that in the second half against Texas A&M, going against a very good defense. They did it a lot against Northern Illinois, partially because they had to. Then they stopped. I think we're going to see more of that in this game because it's the playoff and he's one of their best running threats. And then you combine him with Jeremiah Love. Like, I think that for Jeremiah Love, the rest of the college football world started to take notice recently because he's had some highlight reel plays like the hurdle against Army for a touchdown. And then when he cleared that USC defender and then trucked another guy in the same play, like the world is starting to take notice. I think Notre Dame fans who have been following this team all season long know just how good Jeremiah Love is. I mean, he did score that game winning touchdown against Texas A&M, but I kind of look at this game as a potential coming out party for him because it's going to be the only game on Friday night. And even though some people might know him, I think that he is just going to explode on the scene and have a huge game. So if I were to go to props, I'd probably take Riley Leonard over on rushing attempts and then Jeremiah Love over on yards. And I think he's going to score 2 touchdowns.
I love it. Obviously, it's been a big year for the running backs. Gentry was at the Heisman ceremony. Scadaboo for Arizona State's had a big year, but I'm with you, man. Jeremiah Love's a beast, and I think a lot of people are going to see that on Friday night. I think with Notre Dame, Tyler, obviously the Indiana game's interesting, but also big picture with the Irish. I think it's fascinating as well. Their path is pretty favorable. And then right now, if they were to beat Indiana, that next game in the quarters against Georgia, right now Notre Dame is favored in that game against the Bulldogs. And I think a lot of people, when they see that, if these two teams end up playing, even with the backup quarterback for Georgia, Gunnar Stockton, they're going to be pretty shocked to see Georgia as an underdog. So what would be the case for Notre Dame? What are odds makers seeing in that matchup that you think warrants Notre Dame being the favorite over Georgia?
I think it honestly has a lot to do with the fact that Carson Beck is not going to play. Gunnar Stockton looked pretty good in that second half against Texas. I mean, he did lead them to a win, so credit to him. But the fact that Carson Beck had struggled as much as he did this season and they never once went to Stockton, I think shows kind of the belief the coaching staff has in him. And one thing Notre Dame has been excellent at all season long is forcing turnovers. And I think about Al Golden, the Notre Dame defensive coordinator, who's a Broyles Award semifinalist, him having like almost 2 weeks to prepare to take on a pretty inexperienced quarterback. I think that matchup does favor Notre Dame. But I'm still a little bit surprised that Notre Dame would be favored in that game because that's a game that, frankly, this program has not won in a really long time. They did beat Texas A&M to start the season on the road. So big win over an SEC team. But even though I have a lot of respect for A&M, Georgia is on a different level, and they have been for a long time. So I'm personally surprised by that line. I guess I'm so focused on this game against Indiana because I do think there's a world where Notre Dame could lose that game. But I think it mostly has to do with the Notre Dame defense going up against a Georgia offense who has struggled for most of the year, and now they're without their starting quarterback. I think that is a big advantage in favor of Notre Dame.
No doubt. And look, we did a video last week about who I like in the national title game. I picked Texas to beat Notre Dame in the title game. I like their path. I think that matchup against Georgia would be a one that's very interesting for Notre Dame. Obviously, a good running game with a good mobile quarterback that's given Georgia issues this season. And when I look at that video, Tyler, and see the comments, everybody's down on Notre Dame because they can't get that NIU loss out of their head, right? How can a team that lost to NIU beat Georgia? So what's your case for the Irish this year to make a deep playoff run? That team that lost to NIU, why this team that's heading into the playoff, why could they potentially be a team that wins the whole thing?
Look, as embarrassing as that loss to Northern Illinois was, and don't get me wrong, I still hear about it, it might have been the best thing to happen to this team, and I don't want to say that as if like I'm making up for it or that I'm glad it happened, because I still wish I could go back in time and remove that loss from my life, because that was such a terrible day. But the way that this team has approached the entire season ever since then, I think, says a lot about Marcus Freeman and the team. He still brings it up. He brought it up in his press conference yesterday talking about this game, how he still thinks about that loss to Northern Illinois, and it's been a constant part of their preparation. I think the Notre Dame social media team, they put out a video after like the win against USC, and it was sort of an all-access thing. And at halftime, Marcus Freeman is saying, come out with more intensity and more fire than you did against Northern Illinois. So it's like that loss has been such a fixture in this team season, and I've actually respected the way that they've sort of embraced it in a way that they're like, we're not just going to forget that happened. We're going to think about that constantly to make sure that something like that never happens again. I think it has fueled them. I think that they use it as motivation so that they never stumble like that again. And in the like the days in between every single game, the practice and all that stuff, like they need to bring 110% to their preparation and all the little things. I think there's more attention to detail because of that loss. It put such a emphasis on all the little things, and now it's helped get them to where they are now. And for the rest of the world, I would just say, like, I totally understand the skepticism about this team, but Friday night is a great opportunity to put all that to rest if Notre Dame could just come out ready to go from the opening whistle. And if they dominate, then I think that a lot of other fans are going to see, okay, maybe that loss was a fluke and that this team really is one of the best teams in college football.
Very good. So, Tyler, what's your official prediction? You think Notre Dame wins a close one? Indiana covers, Notre Dame wins?
I think Notre Dame wins 28-17, so they win, they cover, but I don't think it's going to be a situation where Notre Dame is in control of the whole game. I think this game is going to be in the balance in the fourth quarter, but Notre Dame is going to be able to pull away late. I just have too much respect for Indiana and what Kurt Cignetti has done with the Hoosiers. Like, even though Notre Dame is more talent, in my opinion, I just think that Indiana, they're just not going to go away. They're never going to get to a point where the game just, I mean, unless, you know, turnovers, crazy things happen like they did against Ohio State. I think that they're going to keep them in check, but ultimately Notre Dame's defense is going to be too much for IU to handle. And I, like I said, I think Jeremiah Love is going to have a coming out party and everyone is going to be talking about him after this game ends.
Yeah, man, I can't wait to watch Battle Indiana Friday night in South Bend. He's Tyler Wojak joining us here on Send It In. Give him a follow on X at Tyler Wojak and check out his podcast, Locked On Irish. Great stuff from Tyler. Appreciate the time, Tyler. Good luck on Friday night, man. We'll talk again soon.
Appreciate it, man. Anytime.
Absolutely. Great stuff there from Tyler Wojak. We keep it moving here on Send It In as we look at tonight's two Monday night football games that we have. Bears, Vikings, and Falcons, and Raiders. B-Mills, I see your question in the chat. Hey, Paige, fairly certain AOC out for the Raiders tonight. Ritter's going to kill Bowers and Myers props tonight, right? Wanted to take the overs with negative game script, but Ritter scares me. That's really the big debate in this game, right? We can start with Falcons and Raiders here first, B-Mills, because he asked the question. I think that's what's interesting. It looks like Ritter is going to start. So if he does, what's the Raiders offense going to look like? Brock Bowers obviously having an incredible year. Jacoby Myers has emerged as wide receiver number one, especially since they traded away Devontae Adams. So what's that going to look like? The guy that I would target tonight in props is Sincere McCormick, their young running back out of UTSA. I went over 9.5 receiving yards for McCormick tonight. Last week had 11 receiving yards against Tampa Bay. I think with the full game of Ritter, though, and obviously Ritter not being a guy who wants to throw the ball down the field, a guy who wants to hit his checkdowns, he takes minimal risk. I think especially now, the second time around, it's going to be a very cautious game plan for Vegas. I like the receiving yards with the running back tonight. That is the guy that I would target. Also, like Drake London, receiving yards and anytime touchdown tonight at plus 130. Obviously, we all know Kirk Cousins has struggled mightily in his last four games. He doesn't have a single touchdown pass in his last four games, which means Drake London doesn't have a touchdown catch in his last four games either. The five games prior to that, though, Drake London had a touchdown reception in four of those five games. Those teams were against Tampa Bay twice, Carolina, Seattle, Dallas. So he was feasting on some of those bad teams. I think that Drake London anytime touchdown price tonight plus 130 could be a good look. And then Younghoe Koo, the kicker for Atlanta, over 1.5 field goals at minus 125. I think the Falcons are going to be able to move the ball tonight against Vegas, no problem. But I think that their offense could stall out and not score touchdowns because that's what they've been doing over these last 4 weeks. In a dome, which you got to love, Younghoe Koo over 1.5 field goals, minus 125. I like that as well. As for the Bears and the Vikings, I like Chicago tonight, +7 against Minnesota. We were talking about this game last week. We've been talking about the Bears. It's obviously been a disappointing season for Chicago, but the one scenario where they have played pretty well this season is within their division. We know the NFC North's been the best division in football this season. Think about what they've done against the Lions, the Vikings, and the Packers, though, this season. Chicago lost by 3 points to both the Lions and Minnesota, and then they lost by just one to Green Bay. So they've been playing their divisional opponents tough. Minnesota is 11-2. They just saw Detroit lose last night to the Buffalo Bills. So now they can tie Detroit at 12-2, and they still play them later on in the season. I like the Bears tonight, +7 to keep it close. The offense has been better with Thomas Brown calling the plays. I think Chicago can keep this one close. A couple of player props that I would look at. Caleb Williams over 25.5 rushing yards for Chicago. He had 33 in this first matchup against the Vikings. You got a young quarterback going up against Brian Flores, and that defense has the most interceptions in the NFL. All the different looks, blitz packages, exotic looks that he gives you. I think Caleb, there are going to be a couple plays tonight where he's a little bit confused, and obviously the O-line for the Bears is not good. When that happens, he looks to scramble. I'll go over 25.5 rushing yards for Caleb. I also like over 56.5 receiving yards for DJ Moore as well. He had his season high in receiving yards this season against Minnesota with 106, and now he plays them again. His total's only at 56.5 tonight. We'll go over receiving yards for DJ Moore. And then finally, Sam Darnold to throw an interception tonight. I mean, Sam Darnold's been playing great his last four games. 11 touchdowns and no interceptions, including coming off a 5-touchdown performance and no picks against the Atlanta Falcons. Darnold's number, though, is minus 105 for him to throw a pick tonight against the Bears. So I think there's a reason that Darnold, who hasn't thrown a pick in his last four games, isn't plus money tonight to throw an interception. I like Sam minus 105 to throw a pick tonight against the Bears. Also at breaking news on the show, Ian Rappaport is reporting that Patrick Mahomes diagnosed with a mild high ankle sprain following tests. He's considered week to week. Test confirmed initial thoughts. Right now, the Texans 2.5-point favorites against the Chiefs. They play Saturday, and then the Chiefs turn around and play the Steelers on Christmas Day on Wednesday. So that is interesting. Looking right now like Mahomes is going to be out for the Chiefs. All right, a promo from our friends at BetMGM. And we've all had our first touchdown bet vulture to call back before. With BetMGM's Pro Football Second Chance, we're giving you a second chance on first touchdown bets this season. You can place any first touchdown score wager, and if your player doesn't score first but scores second, you get your entire stake back in cash. No opt-in required. First touchdown tonight, I'm going with Drake London. Finally get back in the end zone, and I like him to score first at plus 700. How does it work? You place a pregame straight first touchdown score bet in an NFL game. If your player scores the first touchdown in the game, you win your wager as normal. If your player scores the second touchdown in the game, you'll get your entire stake back in cash. Only straight bets apply to second chance. Any wager using a bonus bet or other reward token is ineligible for the campaign. All right, let's go to games that I would bet right now. And we will start with week 16 in the NFL. This is one of my favorite bets of the season so far in the NFL. I'm fading my Ravens. I'm taking the Steelers +6.5 against Baltimore. You guys want some trends and some stats about this rivalry here recently? It's ridiculous. The underdog in this rivalry since 2015 is 16-2-1 against the spread. Also, going back the last 20 years, when the underdog in this rivalry has been 3 or more points, that team is 23-4-3 against the spread. Once again, when the underdog 3 or more points in the last 20 years, 23-4-3 against the spread, and in this rivalry, Ravens Steelers, the underdog in the last 9 years since 2015, 16-2-1 against the spread. Folks, it's simple. When these two teams play, you just take the underdog, especially when you're getting this many points at 6.5. And the way that these games have been going the last 4 or 5 years, I can already tell you how this game is going to play out. The Ravens are the better team. They're going to outplay them. They're going to outgame the Steelers on Saturday night. But the Steelers are going to muck it up. They're going to keep this game ugly. They're going to force the Ravens into turnovers. Justin Tucker's probably going to miss some field goals. The Ravens are going to have some boneheaded penalties. And then you look up in the fourth quarter, and somehow, even though the Ravens should be up by double digits, the Steelers are only down one score. Russ is going to make some big throws in the fourth quarter. The Steelers are going to capitalize. They're probably going to win this game outright. They've won 8 of the last 9 against Baltimore. And what's crazy is in the last 9 games that the Steelers and Ravens have played, the Ravens have only eclipsed 20 points one time. Lamar has been out of this rivalry for like half of those games, but even still, it's been much made about Lamar against the Steelers. He has struggled in these matchups. Pittsburgh does a great job of keeping these games low scoring in the high teens and just forces Baltimore to beat themselves. I know TJ Watt, there's a chance that he doesn't play, even though there was some good news on him today. George Pickens, we'll see his status as well. Honestly, for me, it doesn't matter. In any other game, it would matter if maybe those two weren't playing. But in this game, with all the familiarity with both teams and both coaches, it really doesn't matter. The Ravens always beat themselves in this rivalry, and you're getting 6.5 points with the Steelers in a game that's probably going to be low scoring, in a game that's probably going to determine the division. I love Pittsburgh, +6.5 against Baltimore. I also like the Patriots, +14 against the Buffalo Bills. If you watch this show, you know we love looking for spots, right? We love looking to fade some of the best teams in the NFL, and I think we have a really good spot to fade Buffalo on Sunday. The Bills just came off of a brutal stretch in their schedule where they had to play big game after big game after big game, right? They had the big game against the Chiefs. Then they had to play San Francisco on Sunday Night Football. Then they had that big game against the Rams, and then obviously yesterday against Detroit. That's 4 games back to back to back where you're playing against some of the best teams in the NFL, where you're playing against teams that are fighting for their playoff lives, and now you come back home after one of the biggest wins of the year. Everybody thinks Josh Allen's MVP. Everybody's telling you how great you are, and you got to play a divisional game as a 2-touchdown favorite against the Patriots, who, as we know with Drake May, have been pretty, they've been pesky, they've been feisty, they've been covering a lot of numbers. I like New England +14 against Buffalo. I also like the Eagles -3.5 against the Commanders. I know that a lot of the public's probably going to be on Philadelphia. They're going to be on this side. I just don't think this line's right. I think this line should more so be 4.5, 5. I think 3.5, you're getting a good number on the Eagles. Keep in mind, these two teams played back in week 11 on Thursday night. Philadelphia was 3.5-point favorites in that game. They were at home, but think about how these two teams have gone opposite ways since that game. The Eagles continue on their win streak. They've won 10 straight games. They've rattled off some impressive wins at LA, at Baltimore, beat Pittsburgh yesterday. Meanwhile, Washington, even though they have won their last 2 games, that Saints win yesterday, they very easily could have lost. Their offense has not been as dominant as what we saw early on in the season. So maybe this is a game where you see a little bit of regression from Philadelphia. Even if you do, though, I think their defense is still too good. I think their offense, even if A.J. Brown doesn't play, with Saquon will be enough. I like Philadelphia -3.5. And then a couple of bowl games that I would keep an eye on this week coming up in college football. I love Cal in a pick 'em -110 against UNLV. This is one of those bowl games where you have a coaching staff with UNLV where a lot of them have moved on. Barry Odom, the head coach for the Rebels, took the Purdue job, took a lot of his staff with them. So it's one of those situations going up against Cal and Justin Wilcox, who's always one of these coaches that's very good in bowl games. You got a UNLV team who their interim head coach is going to be the wide receiver coach. So you would figure that as the wide receiver coach, he's probably going to want to feed his receivers. He's probably going to throw the ball quite a bit. I don't know if that's necessarily a good idea going up against Cal, who had one of the best secondaries in the ACC. So I like the Cal as their coaching staff. I like the matchup for them. Give me the Golden Bears in a pick 'em. And then finally, give me the Florida Gators. I'd lay the 14 with them against Tulane coming up. Every year in bowl season, we get about 2 or 3 teams that play well towards the end of the season. They pick up a lot of momentum, and then they get into their bowl game, and they just roll. And then everybody looks at that team, and they got some pieces coming back, and everybody says, look out for that team. That team's going to be dangerous next season. We said that about Virginia Tech. We said that about Kansas State. I think Florida's one of those teams. With the way that the Gators ended the season, with the wins over LSU, the wins over Ole Miss, with how great DJ Lagway looked, with Billy Napier kind of silencing all the critics a little bit, I think Florida's going to be a very popular team. I like the Gators minus 14 against Tulane, who, again, lost a bunch of guys to the transfer portal after the season. So a couple bets I would look at in bowl season. All right, real quick, let's get to college basketball here on Send It In. It's a Monday. Going to look at my top 10 teams. Obviously, had a great slate on Saturday. We had number one Tennessee survive against Illinois. UConn with an impressive win over Gonzaga as well. But Auburn just continues to beat everybody really badly. We saw Auburn's odds go from plus 800 to plus 600, and they're the best team in the country. If you watched even a little bit of college basketball this season, it's not hard to know that Auburn is the best team in college basketball up to this point. My second best team is going to still be Kentucky at 17-1. Kentucky's offense is lethal. Louisville gave them a great game on Saturday, but Kentucky's just got so many different ways that they can beat you. They got three-point shooters. They got guys that can finish at the rim. They're a good free throw shooting team, and I love all the seniors that they have on that roster. Remember, Kentucky was 35-1 preseason to win the national title. We gave them out. Now they're 17-1, and they're my second best team in college basketball. I'll put Duke right behind them at number three. Duke's got the most upside of any team in the country. There's no question about it. All those stud freshmen that they have, led by Cooper Flagg, I love how they've challenged themselves in the offseason. They played Kansas, they played Kentucky, they played Auburn. So that's going to help them when they get into March and when they face a lot of those teams likely. Again, like Duke a lot, best defensive team in college basketball, they are number three for me. Tennessee's number four, undefeated, number one team in the country, really nice road win over the weekend against Illinois. The end of the day, though, it's Rick Barnes. It's still Rick Barnes. Tennessee can go undefeated in the regular season. I would still never wager any money on them to win a national title. So I think they're the fourth best team right now on paper in the way they look, but would I ever bet a futures title on them? Absolutely not. Iowa State's going to be number five. Cyclones right now, only team in college basketball, top 10 offensively and defensive efficiency, according to KenPom. They are a complete team, great on defense, and they're scoring the ball really well this year. I like Iowa State. They're number five. Bama's number six. They got Chris Youngblood back into the lineup, one of their transfer portal guys from South Florida. Mark Sears looked great against Creighton on Saturday. We know Bama's going to be able to score. The thing with the Tide is, can they play defense? Speaking of defense, Houston is my number 17. They're 15-1 to win the national championship. We talked about this last week, but 100% of the national champions since 2004 have been in the top 12 in the week six AP poll. Houston was not one of those teams, so I would not bet on Houston to win the national title. Florida is 35-1. The Gators are a lot like Alabama. Great offensive team, great guards. Can they defend? Time will tell on Florida. Marquette, 35-1. Love Cam Jones. Just something missing with Marquette. Shaka Smart, ever since that run with VCU, has not been a very good tournament coach as well. And then I'll put the Kansas Jayhawks at number 10, 15-1 to win the national title. Kansas was looking great early on in the season. Then when they went on the road and played Creighton and Missouri and got dominated from tip to finish, I'll still put the Jayhawks, though, at number 10. All right, let's go to Model Make Money. Check in with Kate Constable. We'll get some of her best bets on today's slate. Kate, before we do that, what does the BetQL model like? Is there five-star plays for today?
Hey, PJ. Yeah, five-star plays today. The model likes the over in tonight's Falcons and Raiders game. That's at 44.5. Our model has this sitting at 50.5 points. So, 6-point difference from the current total. The Raiders, they're 4-1 to the over at home this season. And the Falcons, they have struggled in terms of hitting the over, only gone over in 5 of 13 games total this year, but they have hit the over in 3 of their last 5 road games. So the over, 44.5, the only 5-star play in tonight's doubleheader in the NFL.
All right, very good. Kate, let's stick with that game before we get to your Bears against the Vikings. Anything for you in Falcons Raiders tonight?
Yeah, I do like the Falcons to cover tonight. I think they get back on track here. I think Kirk especially gets back on track. Kirk Cousins, that is. He's been terrible lately, right? Like, there's really no other way around it. 0 touchdowns, 8 interceptions in this Falcons 4-game losing streak. But I like Cousins to go over. His passing yards prop tonight sitting at 241.5. Max Crosby is out for the Raiders for the rest of the season. That's a huge blow. He's their best edge rusher. And Vegas has allowed 250 or more passing yards in 6 straight games. Kirk Kirk Cousins. He's exceeded tonight's passing prop in three of his last four games. And I'm sure Kirk Cousins has also been hearing the chatter of, when are we putting Michael Penix Jr. in? Is he maybe going to take Kirk's spot? And are the Falcons going to bench Kirk? I don't think those conversations are really that far along within the Falcons locker room, but within the media and fans, there's plenty of chatter about that. I think Cousins kind of puts those rumors to rest tonight.
All right, very good. Kate, what about your Bears tonight? In about 30 seconds going up against the Vikings, any plays you like in that game?
Yeah, this is just an odd game. I think the Bears could cover tonight because you always expect the unexpected with Chicago. But Aaron Jones, the Vikings running back, over 65.5 rushing yards. He had a great game against the Bears 3 weeks ago. Over 100 yards, 22 carries. The Bears' run defense has been a liability, allowing just under 150 rushing yards per game over their last three games. It hasn't been good. I think Aaron Jones has another big night. Plus, game script says that the Vikings are going to be up. Probably keep the ball on the ground late in the game here. So Aaron Jones, over 65.5 rushing yards.
All right, very good. A couple of plays in each of the games tonight from Kate joining us here on Model Making Money. Kate, always appreciate the time. Good luck tonight. We'll catch up again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, PJ.
You got it. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, we got 20 seconds. We will roll through these. We gave out these plays earlier on in the show, but the prop lock I like tonight, Younghoe Koo, over 1.5 field goals for Atlanta at minus 125. I think Atlanta's going to be able to move the ball. It's just a question of field goals or touchdowns. I like the price on Younghoe Koo, minus 125 for him to hit two or more field goals. And then my dog of the day and my best bet are going to be the same. Bears +7 against the Vikings. Bears have been great this year in the division. I think they keep it close against Minnesota. Thanks again to Tyler Wojak, Kate Constable for joining us on the show today. We will see you guys tomorrow.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations, galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.